Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. While most of the tri-state area stayed above freezing on Wednesday night, tonight will be a different story. Overnight lows in the 20s and 30s are forecast for the northern plains. There's also frost and freeze potentials for other parts of the Midwest. DTN agricultural meteorologist Bryce Anderson says this certainly is concerning, especially for areas where crops are emerging.
Here Thursday into Friday, the areas that have the greatest chance for freeze are kind of in a belt from south central South Dakota east to Wisconsin, and then from about Findlay, Ohio in the southeastern Midwest, south into the upper Ohio Valley and part of the Appalachians. And there's quite a bit of the remainder of the east central Midwest that is under a freeze watch. So it is going to be on the colder side.
Anderson says the angle of the coldest air is heading southeast of out of the Canadian prairies, aiming toward the Ohio Valley.
Still is not all that favorable over the remainder of the northern plains and the northern Midwest, because temperatures are going to be below normal, and it's just going to keep a lot of difficult conditions in place, especially when we have some wetter ground and need to get that dried out in order to do field work. So this is certainly slowing things down when we think about the next week.
Statistics Canada released their March 2020 planting intentions report for all field crops this morning. Canada's farmers say they intend to plant more wheat and corn than last year, less barley, canola, peas, and lentils and soybeans. Wheat acres are expected to be up 3.3% to 25.4 million acres, primarily on an increase in durum acres. Canola acres expected to be in 20.6 million, which is down 1.6% from a year ago. Acres planted to corn is expected to be up 3.2% to 3.8 million acres.
IntelliFarm President Brian Voth says that acreage report is typically highly anticipated. However, this year's report was impacted by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic that has been affecting the report.
Only about half of the farmers that they would normally survey were actually surveyed, and they have a disclaimer saying that because of that, the results of these are to be taken with a grain of salt, so to speak, and there'll be subsequent reports that have a little bit more accuracy, the idea being. So when we get the numbers at the end of June for final seeded acres, that one at least will be a little bit more accurate, I think. With wheat, the numbers came in at 25.4 million acres, pretty close to what the trade was expecting at 25.3.
Canada's acreage is estimated at 20.6 million acres. Voth says this is lower than the trade estimate of 21.1 million acres.
Kind of on the bottom end of estimate. This one, I know internally, we actually have a higher acreage number than last year, closer to 22. And the biggest reason behind that is there's arguments on both sides. A lot of people are saying, no, canola acres are going to be down because it's an expensive crop to grow. And with the uncertainty in markets and with trade wars and everything like that, farmers are going to grow less canola. We look at it from an economic perspective and say, out of the last 5 to 8 years, canola has been one of the most consistently profitable crops to grow in Canada.
Van Onen Company CEO Jim Empter says the grain markets have gotten stuck trading between their upside resistance and the downside support levels.
Key thing for us in the corn market is getting above 343 in the new crop. You get above that and you start to activate some upside price counts. So far, we have not been able to do that, but we have been able to maintain the lows, and on a firmer day, hopefully we can see that. On the bean side of things, you're kind of looking at a similar scenario. It's just we've held the lows, but we're still a ways away from those breakout spots. 887 is that upside originator that generates some price counts higher for us, but it's just tough to communicate that optimism when we really haven't done much with it yet. So consolidation, yes, but we've really got no new direction at this time.
Empter is watching for a break out of the trading ranges.
And that's why we look at those breakout spots as saying, hey, this is what we need to be attentive to. And again, those levels for corn dees is 343, level for soybeans, 887. We get above those and we can start talking maybe a little bit of optimism here off the technicals. But also, if we ever took out those lows here off the new crop or even old crop prices, that'd be just as detrimental to the downside.
S&W trading market analyst Andy Schisler expects the ethanol market to pick up faster than many are expecting.
you know you're putting the lows in when you hear the word demand destruction every day, and that's what this has been. And we lost demand. We didn't destroy demand, and that's the thing. And like in 08, if you remember, we had how many plants go under and go bankrupt, and it took like a year of restructuring through bankruptcy to open those plants up under different names. And this time they just stopped.
Schistler says the jobs and the demand are still there for many businesses.
So we didn't ruin the ethanol industry. We just stopped so that they don't lose money so they can come back. And so demand destruction is if you kill the pigs. And so that's happened. But as far as ethanol, it can come back and be healthy again, I think. So I think this is not nearly as destructive to like some of the ag community, because we were already down going into it, and they just quit operating, which makes sense. That's what you should do.
The COVID-19 pandemic isn't over yet, but CoBank lead animal protein economist Will Sawyer says when it's over, there will likely be scars left in the protein sector.
The pork sector could show scars from the coronavirus pandemic in a way more than possibly their counterparts on the beef side or on the chicken side. And that's something that we're going to have to think about is, you know, the industry has grown significantly over the last 5 to 10 years. Better domestic consumption, definitely better exports. We don't have the pigs. We don't have the production. And you know, one fix to all these issues is higher prices. We hope to continue to see that over the next few weeks so that in the end, the producer can make it through this very difficult period, and that we also have the supply when consumers are looking for it.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota lawmakers are responding to President Trump's request for the Department of Justice to investigate the cattle markets. Senator Mike Rounds and Congressman Dusty Johnson say they are grateful for the president's action. With beef flying off the shelves and cattle producers barely making ends meet, Johnson says something doesn't add up and producers want a competitive market.
Cow-calf producers and cattle feeders are losing money while the packers are profiting. Those words coming from Livestock Marketing Association Vice President Larry Schnell, who owns Stockman's Exchange at Dickinson, North Dakota.
It's not that anyone thinks that the packers should not be making money. I mean, everybody in the in each sector needs to make some money. But a cow calf guy, he's got that calf on the ground and he takes care of it for a year. The cattle feeder takes care of it for three to six months, and the packer has it for 2 days, and they make the lion's share of the profit. And it just doesn't work that way. And it all works its way back to the cow calf guy. Come this fall, when those if the cattle feeders have lost money, they're going to pay less for the next group of calves that they buy. So it's affecting everybody in the cattle industry.
A new report from the American Farm Bureau Federation says few farmers have been able to take advantage of the Paycheck Protection Program. Of the $349 billion originally allocated for the program, it's estimated $4.37 billion, or 1.3%, was distributed to agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting sectors. Farm Bureau economic analyst Megan Nelson says a self-employed farmer's participation is based on net farm profits from 2019. If that farmer reports a net farm loss for 2019, they are ineligible for the loan.
Likely that trade disruptions and other natural disasters have made major impacts and could potentially have farm losses being accumulated.
One North Dakota-based CPA says farmers could revisit their 2019 tax return and file an amended return to qualify. Nelson says the option wasn't considered for the report.
You need a bit more granularity to look into those eligibility requirements. But I think another thing that is being tossed around is the idea of being able to use equipment sales and other forms of income that farmers use on their balance sheet to further signify their profits and losses.
Due to the strong interest in the loan program, Congress approved $310 billion in additional funds at the end of April. As of Wednesday, the Small Business Administration says $183.5 billion in round two has been approved.
There will likely be a spillover effect for this growing season from the record amount of prevent plant acres in 2019. When that PP ground goes back into production, AMVAC product development manager Rich Zollinger expects to see more weed issues.
Maybe some of the weeds were left to go to seed. You know, despite the efforts of every effort the grower was able to do, those seeds will now re-enter the seed bank, and because of that, you may have some new weed species that you may not have dealt with before, and you may now have a higher concentration or infestation of weeds in some parts of the fields than you normally would.
Zollinger previously served as an extension weed scientist at North Dakota State University. With planting delays, it could be a challenge to apply a pre-emerge herbicide that will increase the demand for weed management later on.
If they can spray when the weeds are in that sweet spot, that 2 to 3 inches, instead of, you know, 6 or 8 inches, if they can spray earlier, and if they can use, you know, multiple herbicides with multiple modes of action, effective modes of action on the same weed, that would be demonstrating using more management with those tools that you can if you weren't able to do the soil-applied residual.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Kansas Wheat has announced more details for a virtual winter wheat tour the week of May 18th. The tour will look similar to the Wheat Quality Council's event typically held this week. Kansas Wheat says the virtual 4-day tour will be held via Zoom. Certified crop advisors, extension agents, grain elevators, farmers, and others will address participants about the wheat crop. The data will be gathered throughout parts of Kansas each day with wrap-up meetings at 4 o'clock. Tour participants reporting updates can use the hashtag WheatTour20 on Twitter. Sign up for the event can be found at kswheat.com.
The North Dakota Stockmen's Association is teaming up with the Great Plains Food Bank to provide North Dakota families in need with beef during COVID-19. The newly established Beef Relief Program is donating $20,000 to purchase beef from North Dakota ranchers. NDSA Foundation President Warren Zanker says the idea stemmed from a text message.
Actually, District 3 Director Tim Herbley had said to us, you know, I think we should do something, a humanitarian effort to help our neighbors out. He said, you know, I think looking at these food bank lines, I think we could do something. And we asked the food bank to procure the animals from local ranchers and have that processed, and they can distribute that as they see fit.
Zanker goes on to say this small but powerful action is something bigger than just North Dakota.
You know, and with that being said, it's also going to help some of the glut of cattle that we're bottling up right now and pushing back. So the sad thing is, you know, the fact $20,000 really isn't going to buy a pile of animals. You know, it's going to be probably 13, 14 heads, so it's not a big pile of animals. But, you know, maybe it's something that will continue to grow, and maybe there's some guys that just want to donate to the food bank, where, you know, donate a calf or whatever the case. So we're putting it out there just to help our neighbors and be humanitarian.
A quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat up 1.25 at 5.09. July Chicago wheat up 4 at 5.21.5. July corn up 4.25 at 3.18.5. December corn up 3 at 3.34.25. July beans up 11.5 at 8.44. November beans up 9 at 8.48.25. Livestock markets trading mixed here at midday. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network. We'll